For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
When you get the Planet Fitness Black Card, you can bring a friend anytime you work out. And now through March 13th, get your first month free when you join. You heard that right. Conquer the stair climber with your partner in climb. Enjoy a post-workout recovery session in the hydro massage. And do it all again with access to any of our 2,700 convenient locations. So, you coming? Get your first month free and all the perks with the PF Black Card for just $1 down, $24.99 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends March 13th. See club for details.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Slash Film Daily. Today is Thursday, March 6th, 2025. On today's episode of the show, we're going to be ranking the films of director Bong Joon-ho. My name is Ben Pearson. I'm an editor at slashfilm.com, and I'm joined on today's episode by Slash Film editor BJ Colangelo.
Hi.
All right, BJ, we are finally on the eve of the release of Mickey 17, which is Bong Joon-ho's follow-up to Parasite. It is a long-awaited movie. Parasite came out back in 2019, and we've been waiting on this film for a long time. It got bumped and delayed and all of that kind of stuff, but it is finally coming out. It's probably out by the time you're listening to this in some capacity. And we're not going to talk about that movie on today's show. We're going to devote tomorrow's episode to that. But I thought this is a great opportunity for us to try to create a group ranking of Bong Joon-ho's movies. So I guess just before we dive in, what's your relationship to his filmography? I know from talking to you beforehand that you've seen all of his films, but like, where does he stand for you in terms of like the pantheon of directors? Would you consider him one of your guys? What's your relationship to Bong Joon-ho's movies?
Oh yeah, I am a proud member of the Bong Hive. He's definitely one of my guys. I first really got into him, it would have been after The Host came out. So this would have put me in my late teens, and I just remember being very blown away by that movie. And it's also kind of what got me into a lot of Korean horror and a lot of Korean cinema. He was definitely my gateway into that world. And just over the years, the more of his work that I've seen, the more I just love him. And the fact that he has pretty consistently from the beginning been a director who likes to be a man of the people, which I greatly appreciate. And he's just operating on a level that I don't think anyone else is, quite frankly.
Yeah, that's awesome. I came to his stuff relatively late. I actually did a triple feature yesterday to fully catch up on everything. I'd seen, I don't know, the first 30 minutes or something of Okja and was just like, I don't know, I'm not really vibing with this. So I didn't go back to it until yesterday when I realized, oh, I should probably have seen all of his movies before we had this conversation today. And then I caught up with Barking Dogs Never Bite, which was his first feature film. And then I watched Mother, which I had never seen before either. So several of these are very fresh in my mind. And yeah, I mean, I agree that like, especially his last couple movies feel like, man, the way that this guy moves the camera, like the deliberate nature of his storytelling and the propulsive nature of a lot of it too. It feels like he's really found a wonderful sweet spot between telling like purely entertaining stories that also have messages and like feel like they're about something, when, as we know, most of the movies that we see just kind of feel like, or modern movies, I should say, that we see just kind of feel like they're more for shareholders than they are for human beings. You know, it just kind of feels like they're just they're checking boxes or whatever. And you can never say that about director Bong's movies. So yeah, the great, great filmmaker. And I'm thrilled to be able to talk with you about his filmography today. So I guess when I was making my personal list, and I'm sure you have your list, and we'll bounce back and forth and try to figure out what our ultimate group list is here. But when I was making mine, I have a clear number 7 and a clear number 1. And I was wondering if you had the same thing, or what was the process like of ranking his movies for you? Did you have anything that immediately stood out just before we get into the specifics of it?
So what ends up being very difficult for me is that I have to juggle between what I personally believe is like his best work and the movies that impact like me specifically the hardest versus the ones that I know are, you know, a little bit more accessible for other people, the ones that other people would probably be into. That's the endless struggle I have when coming up with lists. I would agree. I think I did have like a pretty solid, like, I think this one is my number 7 and this one is my number 1. If we were including Mickey 17 in this ranking, it would shift some of my numbers pretty dramatically, I think. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like, he's one of those directors where I don't think he's ever I don't think he's ever made a bad movie, like, fully. I think like his weakest movie, and like, of course that's subjective, but even his weakest movie is like better than some directors' best movies.
Yeah. Okay, so I guess let's start with number 7 and try to establish some common ground here. My number 7 pick would be Barking Dogs Never Bite, which is his first film.
That's also mine.
Okay. I think, you know, like you said, there's some incredible stuff in that movie, and there are several little flashes of what it feels like the director that he would become, you know, but it kind of does feel like a first movie. And that propulsive quality I was talking about just isn't quite there. Like the story engine for that movie kind of drags a little bit. And yeah, it just kind of like feels a little bit more meandering to me than a lot of his other films. So I guess for that reason alone, I would put it at number 7. But again, like, you know, you're not going to have a bad time really with any of these movies. So,
oh, definitely. And I think it's kind of exciting for people to watch because this is one of his like smallest scales movies, obviously, because it's his first. They're not, you know, writing him blank checks or anything at this point. Yeah. But they're like, I think his sense of humor is very much like, you can see the foundation of it here. I don't think that this is nearly as confident of a work from him. So it is a good watch, if only because you're watching what feels like a restrained version of him.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Okay, so number 6, man, this is so hard because it feels like when you're down here, you know, in the bottom 2, it kind of feels like insulting or something. And all the rest of these movies, I think, are a big, big step up from Barking Dogs Never Bite. So it kind of feels like, oh man, what are we putting down here in the dregs of the number 6 spot? But I don't really feel that way about the overall quality of the rest of these movies. So it's so hard. What did you have for your personal number 6?
This is gonna probably make some people very, very upset. I think it's Snowpiercer.
Wow. Oh my God. Okay.
I know. I think that it's Snowpiercer, and the thing is, let me make this very clear. I don't think that it's his fault. I think that it is the fault of the Weinstein Company hacking it to bits upon its, you know, original release, because that is kind of the movie that I think about first, is that version of it. I just think that a lot of the stuff that he wants to say in this movie, I think, get said better in some of his other movies, especially Mickey 17, which I know, like, I shouldn't be, you know, considering it, which is weird. Like, if I'm not considering Mickey 17, Snowpiercer, I think, is higher for me. But because I am cursed with the knowledge that Mickey 17 exists, it puts it lower for me. But anything between, you know, 6 and 2, like, we're fighting for A's and A minuses here. Like, yeah, that's where we're at.
Interesting. All right. So I had Mother at number 6. Was this your number 5? Or let's talk about
5.
Mother for a second. Okay. All right.
Yeah,
I was wondering
my
like
5.
Where. Okay. All right. So yeah, that's interesting. Okay. So actually, real quick, before we move on from Barking Dogs Never Bite, I wrote down that I wanted to mention that one of the first shots in that movie is the super wide shot of the main character running along a walkway of an apartment complex. And the shot is taken from across the across the street, across the way. And it communicates one of the ideas that appears over and over again in his work, which is that we're all just smaller parts of a bigger thing, you know, like we're cogs in a wheel. And that's an idea that shows up a bunch of times in his movies. So I just wanted to mention real quick in terms of like seeing an early look into the type of filmmaker that he would become. That was a shot that stood out to me from Barking Dogs Never Bite. So I think we can firmly establish that as number seven. Man, number six, that's going to be interesting where Snowpiercer, because I'll play my hand now, BJ. Snowpiercer was number three for me.
Wow, okay.
So, but I think I haven't seen that movie since it came out, but I just remember the idea being so interesting, the way that it was packaged. And I believe it was based on a graphic novel, but so it wasn't just like a pure Director Bong invention. But the idea and the way that it was executed, I just remember being very taken by that. So I think it's more of like the concept of Snowpiercer than the movie itself that looms large in my mind. So I'm definitely willing to fudge these numbers around here and find something that makes sense for both of us. So, okay, Mother for me was number six, and it sounds like that was your number five. So that should go somewhere in that sort of bottom section. Man, what a boy mom classic Mother is. I guess we should say like spoilers for every one of his films, just in case we mentioned something. But man, a lot of like interesting twists that I didn't quite see coming in that movie. When was the last time you watched Mother?
Oh, this one's been a while. I want to say I rewatched it around the time Parasite came out, because I have a tendency to do that, is just go into it. Because this movie, I think, is probably the one that is like the least seen in his filmography. I think people will go back and be like, oh, I want to see his first movie. And this one sort of just kind of gets like forgotten about a lot. But yeah, boy mom classic, a very cool mystery. I love when our protagonist is like an elderly woman, like that rules. Mm-hmm. I think that this is also one of his only movies that does like a lot. There's like a lot of flashback work in it, which is really interesting for him. But yeah, this movie is great. There's also a theme in this movie that I think is done a little bit better in a different movie that I'm sure that we'll talk about. But the idea of the differences between police and investigation in rural communities versus urban communities. And that, yeah, I think is really fascinating. I think if people are into like crime mysteries, like they'll really be into this one.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I had that feeling as well of like, oh man, this could be just a really fun movie, because it feels very under-discussed, like you were saying, in terms of his filmography. And this just feels like a fun discovery that people can make. And I watched this, it was streaming on Hoopla, which is the app that I got through my local library. So that was the only place I think that it's streaming right now for free. So maybe seek that out if you're looking for that one. I'll try to avoid super spoiling it, but yeah, just a lot of interesting plot twists and stuff that I definitely did not see coming. And I really, really like the ending of this movie, so I wanted to shout that out. Okay, so what would your number, I guess it would be your number four then, what would that be?
I'm doing math here. Four. Okay, my number four is Okja, which I also quite love. But I also recognize that this one is a lot for a lot of people. But I think that this is also the movie that captures the sweetness of Director Bong better than probably anything else in here.
Yeah, that was my number five. And yeah, this is basically like his version of E.T., right? Like that was the thought I just kept having over and over again watching this movie. And a lot of like kind of quasi-ridiculous performances in this. I'm thinking of Jake Gyllenhaal as like like a Steve Irwin type of figure who's like kind of a loser. And Tilda Swinton playing multiple roles in this movie. Very entertaining stuff. And yeah, just like kind of harrowing in terms of the subject matter and like making you rethink your choices in terms of what you eat and what happens to the food, the food sources, the animals that go into providing food for us in mass manufacturing circumstances and all that kind of stuff, right? Like that's basically what this movie is about. But there's also like some really funny stuff in here. You were talking about his sense of humor earlier. Paul Dano plays the leader of this what do you call them? Like a resistance activist type of group that is like supporting
the
animals. Yes. And there's a moment that I like burst into laughter where there's a character named Silver. They all have like code names, basically the members of this resistance group, this activist group. And there's a character named Silver, and I don't know if you remember this moment, BJ, but it's really, really small. But the Silver character, turns down a tomato that he's offered because he is trying to be like fully pure when it comes to making like ethical decisions about what food that he's trying to consume. And it's just this really funny little moment. Like Paul Dano's character kind of like makes fun of him, even though they're on the quote unquote right side of the movie. Like obviously mm-hmm. Tilda Swinton's character is and Gyllenhaal are like the villains of the movie, the antagonists anyway. And these guys, these activists, are supposed to be on the right side, and we're supposed to empathize with them. But it's this kind of human, funny little moment that you might not see from other writer directors. They might kind of draw a line in the sand and say like, okay, everybody on the quote unquote right side has to be like fully pure, fully righteous. You know, they have to be like, we as the audience have to agree with every single thing that they do. And director Bong doesn't do that. He complicates things a little bit. So I appreciated that about Okja. I don't know if you have any other like little moments from that movie or performances or aspects of it that stick in your mind.
Yeah, I think that when you're saying like this is very much like his E.T., I think, yeah, this is him doing Amblin. This is him doing Miyazaki. This is his most like sort of like fantastical film as far as I'm concerned. But it is it's a film that feels like wonderment, you know, and we don't get a lot of movies like that anymore. And to watch him do that and then also tie in his, you know, consistent political theming is just really remarkable to watch, because this is a movie that you can watch with, you know, mature but younger audiences, which is not the case for a lot of his movies. And I don't know, it's lovely. It's a lovely movie.
Yes, definitely. Okay, let's take a quick break and then we'll come back and finish off our ranking.
Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta could make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save.
$20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save.
$20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Hair thinning can happen for so many reasons. Whether it's stress or hormones or anything, at Nutrafol, we've learned that real change starts below the surface. Our hair growth supplements take a whole body approach and target the key root causes of hair thinning, so you can see visibly thicker, stronger hair in 3 to 6 months.
Hair growth starts from the inside at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com.
All right, so my number four, which again, we'll figure out like what our joint list looks like, but my personal number four was Memories of Murder, which came out in 2003, and I saw it for the first time in 2018, I guess. That was in the lead up to Parasite. And I remember thinking that it had a lot to say about policing. And that is kind of what you alluded to earlier. So did you want to dive into that a little bit deeper?
Yeah. Okay. So Memories of Murder is admittedly kind of a hard watch, especially because this is based on real life killings carried out by Ling Chun-jae. So you're dealing with like a neo-noir crime thriller that's based on like genuine tragedy. But the stuff that director Bong has to say about police in this movie is chef's kiss. I don't want to get like too spoilery on it because this is one of his movies that I really, really hope people actually seek out and watch, because this is a movie that a lot of people haven't really seen. I know a lot of people who consider this his best movie. This is my number two. Okay. I love this movie so much. It is also based on a stage play, which I think is beneficial because I think he's a master when it comes to adapting work as well. But yeah, there's some massive tonal shifts in this movie. There's a lot of stuff about policing. There's some like really dark humor in this. But yeah, it very much is assessing the fact that a lot of cops, like from, you know, cities, don't know how to function in farm country, and they try. It's like the way that we view something like Hot Fuzz, it's like that, but not nearly as funny, but yeah, is playing into those dynamic shifts.
Yeah, absolutely. And it reminded me of I think Hot Fuzz is actually a great example, even though like that's so dissonant in terms of the tone. But yeah, like the undercurrent of what you're talking about is absolutely there. I just remember, I haven't seen that movie since 2018, but I remember thinking that the detectives in that movie were like so buffoonish and kind of like making wild assumptions on very little evidence. And yeah, it just seemed, even though it's based on a true story, it kind of felt like director Bong's mentality and his views on policing were coming through in the way that that story was told. So just a really, really solid movie. I need to rewatch that one because I've only seen it once. And I remember liking it, but not maybe being like fully head over heels in love with it. So interesting. Okay. So let's see, what haven't we talked about yet? We haven't talked about The Host yet. And yes, that was one of the early movies that I saw of his as well, that came out in 2006. And just a really, really cool monster movie. If you haven't seen it, like the VFX are a little janky today for the creature, but I think the ideas behind it are so foundational and solid, and like they're kind of like unimpeachable, and it really feels timeless in that way, even if the effects, you know, you kind of might give a little bit of a side eye if you're watching it in 2025 for the first time. But what are your feelings about The Host?
Oh god, I love a kaiju, I love a monster movie, I love anything like that, and it very much feels like this was Bong Joon-ho trying to do kind of like a Korean Godzilla. And I think that that is such a really cool idea. And the reason that it is so successful is because he does treat it like the original Godzilla. We're like, this is going to be an allegory for things that are happening in real life. This is going to, you know, it's rooted in like true humanity. And I think it's so, so effective. I know that J.J. Abrams really, really likes this movie, and I think like that's very obvious. I love that he has I think the creature design is cool. Okay. Like the CGI is a little whack, but like, I think the design itself is very, very cool. But ultimately, like, he really wants you to get invested in these human characters. It's not just a monster for the sake of the monster. And he wants you to feel for the people that are affected by this, you know, aftermath. And it's so cool. Like, I just remember seeing this as a teenager and being like, I've never seen something quite like this that wasn't like a Godzilla movie, and just being very blown away by it. And I revisit it, you know, from time to time for whatever. This movie is always on streaming. I don't fully know why, it just is. And so occasionally like Pluto TV will have it on like their like sci-fi channel or something. I'm like, I guess I'm going to watch The Host again. Cause it's just a solid watch, and it's fun, but it's also very existential in a lot of ways. It's great.
Yeah, and it's very direct too, especially the opening where like the monster gets created due to the chemical spill and the runoff and all of that kind of stuff. Like it's, yeah, it's very obvious what he's trying to do there. And I think it works super, super well. So then, for the host, on your personal list, where did that fall?
Three.
Okay, three. All right. And then I think, yeah, number one is the only one we haven't talked about yet, which is, yeah, obviously Parasite. Just like one of the best movies, period, of the past 20 years. And
yeah,
an incredible film that somehow won Best Picture at the Oscars. Like, I'm still not sure how exactly that happened, but I love that it did. It just feels wrong for the Academy to somehow embrace that movie in such a huge way when, you know, everyone loves to just dunk on the Academy for making terrible decisions all the time. But it was like, wow, they really got that one right. And it kind of seemed like the entire world came together to be like, yes, this man is an incredible filmmaker and deserves to be in the pantheon of the all-time great directors. You know, like that was the movie that I think like truly, truly cemented him in the place where his name is alongside Spielberg and Scorsese and Del Toro and like all of these sort of like big name directors that everybody reveres so much. So yeah, I don't know. When was the last time you watched Parasite?
I watched it like the week before I got to see Mickey 17, just because I was like, I just want to get that in my body again. And it really was kind of just this thing where it just, one, it blew me away because I'm like, God, this movie is still so good. Doesn't matter how many times you watch it, it still feels relevant. It still feels exciting. And then I kept thinking about the Oscar situation. And I remember like watching the Oscars that year being like, I can't believe this. And the success of this movie absolutely is partially responsible for America's embrace of South Korean film and television. And like, that cannot be, you know, overstated, like the importance and the impact that he has made on just sort of like global cinema for audiences in the West is immeasurable. It's huge. And Parasite is what did that. So, I mean, even if this movie didn't absolutely fuck, which it does, like that alone would like skyrocket this up the list.
Yeah, like you think there's no way that Squid Game would have become as popular as it did without Parasite sort of paving that.
There's no way,
right?
Yeah, there's no way. Even though, like, I think that obviously Squid Game is great on its own, and you know Netflix has been very good about bringing like K dramas and also K horror over to the States, but I don't think any of that happens without Parasite and people showing and proving that like they're willing to invest in Korean made entertainment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think his speech was really important too, talking about like subtitles and you know, them only being an inch tall on screen, but kind of like opening people up to a whole world of possibilities. And I think a lot of people really took that to heart because it just feels like that message rang loud and true and kind of like pervaded the cinephile and movie loving community in a way that you really hope a speech like that would from the biggest stage. And it feels like something that I don't know. I mean, this is all anecdotal, but it just kind of feels like more people that I know on Letterboxd or whatever watch more international cinema now than they did before. And I wonder how much of it was like literally him opening people's eyes to, oh yeah, maybe I should give some of the stuff from other countries a try. I don't want to like simplify it to just that, but I feel like it had to have been a factor in some way. So,
yeah,
shout out to him for that speech. Okay, so what that means then, let's do Barking Dogs Never Bite at number 7. Should we do Mother at 6, Snowpiercer at 5? Does that feel okay far?
I'm loosey-goosey with my list. Like, genuinely, like, I'm not going to be heartbroken if we just go with like your ranking. That's totally fine.
No, we're not going with mine. Yeah, we'll mix it up. I think what we can do is, okay, taking what you've said in terms of your placement and mine, I think I've come up with something. Okay, so how about number 7, Barking Dogs Never Bite, number 6, Mother, number 5, Snowpiercer, number 4, Okja, number 3, Memories of Murder, number 2, The Host, and number 1, Parasite.
Ooh, I like it. I'm down. That's great.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that feels right to me. That feels good. I like Okja being like right there in the middle, because there are some elements of that movie that I'm kind of still a little iffy on, but the top three feel kind of unimpeachable to me in terms of like those three kind of have to be up there in the top three. I mean, maybe you could argue that Memories of Murder could be number two or something, but I liked The Host more, and maybe that's just because I came to it earlier, and like you were saying in the very beginning of this conversation, like it sort of imprinted on me and has that sort of personal touch of like, I think that was the first Bong Joon-ho movie I ever saw. So yeah, it just kind of like has a special place in my heart. So that's why it's maybe elevated above Memories of Murder, which I wonder if where people would have that in their personal rankings. So you can write in, let us know if we're idiots for putting it at that spot. bpearson@slashfilm.com. Any closing thoughts on the filmography of Bong Joon-ho, BJ, that we didn't get to?
I mean, he's the best. Like he's no one is doing what he's doing because he is both somebody who you can absolutely call an auteur, but his auteur vision is typically with his consistent theming, because his filmography really does run the gamut of different genres, different tones, different styles. And all I will say is that in terms of Mickey 17, this is far more in line with something like a Snowpiercer, like an Okja, than it is a Parasite, but there is still very much those Parasite elements. But if that's the only movie that you're familiar with him because of the Oscars, I highly encourage you to check out those other films. I think that it'll prepare you for the type of like tone that you're going to get with that one.
Okay, good to know. All right, well, that's going to do it for today's episode of the show. You can find more about the movies of Bong Joon-ho at slashfilm.com. Slash Film Daily is published every weekday, bringing the most exciting news from the world of movies and TV, as well as deeper dives into the great features you can find on the site. You can subscribe to the show on Apple, Overcast, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Send your feedback, questions, comments, concerns, and mailbag topics to us at bpearson@slashfilm.com. Make sure to leave your name and general geographic location in case we mention your email on the air. Don't forget to take a minute to rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. That really helps us out a lot. Tell your friends about the show any way you can. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll talk to you all tomorrow.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save.
$20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
When you get the Planet Fitness Black Card, you can bring a friend anytime you work out. And now through March 13th, get your first month free when you join. You heard that right. Conquer the stair climber with your partner in climb. Enjoy a post-workout recovery session in the hydro massage. And do it all again with access to any of our 2,700 convenient locations. So, you coming? Get your first month free and all the perks with the PF Black Card for just $1 down, $24.99 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends March 13th. See club for details.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save.
$20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.